Welcome back to the Life School Masterclass Show, a place where visionary leaders build a life and business legacy on purpose through mindset, branding, marketing, sales, systems, and team, so they can make an amazing impact and income and positively affect their communities worldwide. Ensure that you are sharing this show, you're subscribing, and you also are leaving us a review so we can create more amazing content around those areas to help you level up to the next level and also bring amazing guest experts that can share their knowledge and expertise with you so that you can create amazing legacy. All right, everybody, welcome back to another show. I'm so excited to be back with you. Another amazing guest and conversation. And today's topic, I love it because it's a topic that I don't know as much as I should about. And who else than my amazing connection from LinkedIn, Joyce Gerber, to kind of invite on to my show today to be able to speak to all of you. If you all share the same curiosity that I do around creating wellness through cannabis, pretty interesting title and a pretty interesting field and area, I should say, that again, most people, I really feel, including myself, don't have enough education around. So Joyce, thank you so much for finding time to come on our podcast today.
Well, thank you for having me. And it's something I didn't know much about before, so I'm happy to share what I know. And, you know, again, I'm a woman of a certain age. I believe this is a very dangerous product. That was a story we were told for a long time. And I had what I call a cannabis awakening. And here I am today talking about it, meeting the women across the country. And in terms of business, I say the interesting part of the people I'm meeting are healed. These are really women across the country, around the world, who have found cannabis to heal themselves. And now they want to be leaders in this industry. So that's a really hopeful thing, I think, when I talk about this plant.
Wow, amazing. So let's dive into, I would love to hear a little bit around your professional or personal background, some of the most meaningful moments that led you to what you're doing today with this area.
Well, I think it's sort of, I don't know, I never expected to be here. A lot of failure and desperation and things that didn't go right, which is how business works, I suppose, or life. I'm a middle-aged lady. I've been married for 30 years. My kids are in their 20s. I have a law degree. I was a practicing family law attorney at one point in my life. I wear pearls. I play tennis. I believe cannabis was really dangerous, but I got here because, you know, I'm a woman of a certain generation. I leaned in. I did all the things I was supposed to do. And when I had children, it really kind of messed up my professional life, honestly. everyone talks about having choices, but it, you know, I felt like I wasn't doing it right. Something was wrong. How was I supposed to create life, take care of these two little kids and make sure my marriage didn't fall apart, meet all my clients' needs? It really seemed impossible. So at some point during my professional life, I stepped away. Like I literally just stepped completely away, which was not a great idea, honestly, because when you want to come back, it's a little bit hard and you have to keep reinventing yourself. So that's kind of how I got here, which, you know, I don't know how deep you want to go into that, but I was a practicing family law attorney. I was terrible at it. I'm sorry if I did your divorce, but I found, you know, I have an interesting skill set to be in this industry. I'm not dressed up today, but you know, I look a certain way. I talk a certain way. I'm actually going down to Washington, DC in April 18th. We're having a 420 day of unity to lobby Congress. It's a bipartisan, which, when do you hear that word anymore? It's a bipartisan coalition of people across the country, farmers, medical professionals, industry advocates, banks, you know, farmers want to grow this, humans want to use it. We're all going down there to talk about removing it from the Controlled Substance Act. That's the one thing we can all agree on.
Wow. Well, thank you for being so vulnerable and so true around your personal experience with parenting and also on the professional side. I think I can relate to a lot of what you said as well, that, you know, you just feel like you're doing too many things and you're not making headway, none of those, with the cost of obviously feeling lost and a lot of the guilt that comes with that, whether it was, you know, through parenting on some of the professional endeavors. But just like you said, you know, a lot of the pain, sometimes it's really a redirection into something else. And we don't always know it, because it's always like, you know, when those doors close, there's always something else that maybe is in store for our path. So staying open to that experience and learning from everything, it's
kind of how we can adapt and kind of purposefully kind of connect those dots for ourselves and get into the next thing that we really feel might be something that we really enjoy. Or, and then after we create some results for ourselves, it's usually a natural human thing to be able to want to share it with others. So I could absolutely see a lot of that similarity based on what you shared with us today. How did you discover cannabis in the first place?
So I always say, you know, it's not my natural habitat. I did use it. You know, I thought it was bad for your brain. I really believe that whole story. I used it in college. I used it when I was a young person. And I actually consumed it sometimes with some of my moms when my kids were really little. It's kind of funny. We would find like this little nug. I don't even know who would find it. Someone would get it. And then we go like someone's deep house, you know, like away from the children. The children were not supposed to see us. And we would smoke this and we'd feel good. And then we come back and we drink our wine, and it was kind of confusing because I didn't really understand what it was at the time. So, and I live in Massachusetts, and in 2016, my husband and I, our kids were teenagers. My husband and I went to Denver, Colorado, just for fun. And I thought it would be fun to do a tour of the industry because it was legal in Colorado at that time. So I met a woman named Goldie. She set it up. She picked us up in her SUV and she brought us around the industry. And it really kind of opened my eyes. She took us to a dispensary, which is where you buy the products. And I could see it was just like people buying what they wanted. It wasn't scary at all. She took us to a grow facility, which really opened my eyes because it made me understand this is really a business. You know, this guy who was showing us around had an MBA, knew everything about this plant, you know, water usage, electrical usage, how much yield you're going to get, you know, where they're going to, it's, you know, it's a complicated business and there's a lot of business issues with cannabis, which I can go into, but I could see what it was. And she started to tell us about the history of why cannabis was illegal in the first place. And I was like, wow, everything I know is wrong. So
let's share some of that. What is it that you learned? What are some myths that you believed before getting exposed to this whole thing?
I can tell you what I know now, which is true, which people didn't know at the time. You know, part of why, you know, cannabis is a plant, obviously. It's the same plant as the hemp plant, literally the same plant. There are cannabis and hemp, whether you hear more, has been used throughout history. It has always been used. You can use hemp for all everything. You can use it for all products that oil is being used for now. Paper used to be mandatory. When the, you know, people came over here and colonized the land, they grew hemp. It's just a plant. The THC comes in conflation with lots of like American history and a person named Harry Anslinger, and then the Nixon administration literally putting it on the Controlled Substance Act. There's a lot of history there. You can go look it up. But now it is on the Controlled Substance Act as a product, a plant that has no medicinal benefits. So that's where it exists today.
I am looking for sponsors for this podcast that aligns with our mission of helping purpose-driven entrepreneurs and CEOs in the service space do more good in the world through legacy entrepreneurship. Your offer, your mission, your vision of your business will be featured inside our episodes. We have a daily show here at the Life School Masterclass Show in 30-minute increments, 5 days a week. So your offer, your message, your vocation will be featured inside our show twice a week for 30 seconds. And I suggest that you put your offer through our podcast for at least 3 to 6 months for repeated consistency and for repeated trust building so that the audience starts to know, like, and trust you, and also can take advantage of the amazing opportunity that you might have with your offer. If you're looking for more information on this podcast sponsorship opportunity, my email is right underneath the screen. Send me an email and we'll be able to further discuss this collaboration opportunity. Right. We're back. That was fascinating. So what about some of the myths that you have discovered from your personal experience as well around wellness as it relates to personal use?
I guess the way I understood it is by understanding that how cannabis works in our own bodies, why it is actually so effective and why it seems to manage so many ailments that humans seem to be having. So in our bodies, we have, it's a big word, endocannabinoid system. Literally, it means we have a system of receptors in our bodies that are like a lock and key for the molecules that are created in the cannabis plant. It's endocannabinoid because we also produce cannabinoids within our body, which is how that system works. But the hemp plant, the cannabis plant, the cannabinoids, the molecules that come from that plant supplement our own system, which is why it's able to reduce inflammation so well and kind of the pain issues, why it seems to balance our body. Again, I'm a lawyer, not a doctor, but this is a system that exists and you can go into it and look it up. Mm. Unfortunately, it's also a plant that, as we know, is now still federally illegal. So it's difficult to do studies on it in a way that allows you to find out the benefits. So this has always been sort of the tension about, is it dangerous or is it not? So there's a lot more history into it, but that, but you know, it's been proven to work in our body because it's a molecule that works within our systems. I mean, that's the easiest way I can explain it.
Yeah. Well, let's take the business angle then, based on kind of, you know, what you've learned, that this is actually, you know, business for many people. What are some of the things, some of those learnings that you could share with us as well, based on what you've learned as this being its own industry?
I mean, it's really everything. I say cannabis is everything from criminal justice to cosmetics. One of the business issues that's primarily targeted on cannabis is because it is an illegal plant at the federal level on the Controlled Substance Act. Banking access, kind of primary to business, is really difficult. I used to tell this story in the beginning. When I first started the podcast, I started it in 2019. I trademarked the name, you know, I found the podcast recording studio, I set up all my social medias, I did all the things I needed to do. I set up the LLC, but I couldn't get a checking account from, I started it in September of 2019, and I set it up as the Canna Mom Show. I trademarked the Canna Mom Show name. Like, I was intentionally out there using this word, and I knew that once the banks heard the word Canna, they were going to be reluctant to connect with me because of that. It took me from September of 2019 until March of 2020 to find someone to open a checking account. So those are some of the early problems people had, just basic finance. And we continue to have issues. There are now banks that will house, you know, your accounts, but it's also a cash industry and the dispensaries can't use credit cards. There's an issue called 280E where you can't literally deduct your normal business expenses. You know, so to be in this industry at the business level is really tricky, honestly. And it's a very high compliance industry. Like, they treat it like heroin. It's treated. And it's very highly taxed. So, you know, it's all the bad. It's like a terrible investment.
Yeah, a lot of risk, sounds like, for sure. But yeah, I mean, I've always been a student of education, right? The more we know, the more than everybody obviously can be conscious about the choices they make. But, you know, not knowing things, you know, sometimes we prejudge things that, you know, as long as we weigh, obviously, the risk and the benefits, and everybody gets to make their own decisions at the end of the day. But just, you know, education is a really important part of anything that we do. And that's actually what attracted me when we first connected, because this is absolutely an area that I also proud person have a lot of myths because I don't really know it enough, and
it's hard, you know, again, it's hard to know what's true and what to believe. I say the power of the stories, which is what I'm sharing every day, and really how people are changing hearts and minds. These are, you know, really, these are stories of healing. I've talked to hundreds of women now at this point. I've been interviewing since 2019, and almost universally, these are stories of healing. So they've either healed themselves, healed a child, or someone they love, and somehow that healing process, you know, and our belief systems are our belief systems. We don't want to believe we're wrong, like, God forbid. But somehow, the idea when you see someone you loved get better, even though you thought this thing was so bad, somehow it opens up a space in your own heart or your own mind to see something, to see it from a different perspective. And that is, and these stories are small, but they're one by one, individual by individual. And it's really changing what the story is about cannabis. And, you know, more than half the states now it's legalized. So for whatever people believe, you know, and again, I said, I'm going down to Washington. Farmers want to grow this. You know, we want, this is an American plant. This be talked about as being patriotic. You know, it can be talked about everything from social equity, how we can, like, you know, undo some of the really bad things we did under the war on drugs, and it can be used to heal the planet. Hemp is used to clean soil. Like I said, you can use it for all sorts of things. You can use it to create products. You can use it for hempcrete. You can wear it. You can even eat the seed. So there's a lot she can do. I do a podcast in my daughter's bedroom, but this is an entire industry across the world that could really, I mean, I really believe this could really save us if we could just step back and see the story of what this plant is and stop fighting it so hard.
Well, you just kind of just gave me that awareness and connected some dots for myself, just like anything new, you know, with AI and everything that's happening and developing. You know, there's always going to be side effects, but there's also a lot of good that can be done. So I guess it's always, you know, up to us to consciously make the right decisions and choices on how to use these things for a higher purpose, to serve ourselves, to serve others. And that's actually amazing how you just shared, you know, a lot of the stories, because that was going to be my next question around the vision and the mission behind your podcast and what is it that you do there. So can you share like a story that was really impactful for you based on somebody that came on a podcast and used this for healing that you can also share with us so that we can get a better insight around some of the effects that can be positive for people that, you know,
I often say the women, they come to this often as their last resort. You know, this is where they are and they find it. And then they're like, they get better. And then they're like, they're kind of a little pissed, honestly. It was held back from them. And now they are sort of advocating to stay in this industry. So it's hard to stay in it, sort of all the reasons I mentioned before. But I would just say the women across the board who are really stepping up, you know, this is an industry that's been bifurcated between medical, recreational, adult use, farmers, all sorts of different things. And it could be built as all other businesses are, you know, capital investment, buying people out. I don't even understand a lot of the stuff that goes on. And it is a commodity. I get that. But it's also something else that heals people. And part of the healing is through the community. So just sort of the universality of the stories I'm sharing with these women who have, they're staying in it on the long run. And they're staying in it on sort of the ground level to help their friends, to help their loved ones, to like make sure that people around them are healed, because that's all we can really do. So I can give you stories, but they're kind of almost universal. They are isolated. They were told it was dangerous. They believed it for a long time. They got sick and they found healing through this story. So I will tell you, actually, this is a story I told yesterday, the story that came out today. So the podcast we put out today, pregnancy and parenting and cannabis, very controversial. The young woman on my podcast who's coming out today, Natalie Mitchell, she works at a local dispensary. And the way I found her is because I went into the dispensary and I always give my little spiel, hi on the Cannabom show, blah, blah, blah. And she started telling me about how she had used cannabis during her pregnancy to control some of her other medical issues that had only been able to be controlled with medications, pharmaceuticals before. It was, you know, kind of, you know, one of these revealing stories. And I was like, would you like to share that? Would you feel open with that? Because people are a little uncomfortable. There's a lot of reasons. We've talked about it on the show, how, you know, children's services becomes involved because it is believed if you have cannabis in your system, there's a child endangerment, which I can argue till I'm, you know, red in the face about that. I don't think that's true, but we don't have the data. So that's an issue with women. So they don't want to reveal that they're using cannabis, even if it's helping them. And we know for a fact it helps with the nausea. And it helps with other seizure disorders and things that other pharmaceuticals are allowed to be used for. And we know there are side effects for that. So this young woman told me the story. And one of the issues is that if your doctor decides they want to do a tox screen on your child or you and they find cannabis, they will involve children's services. But Natalie had heard another woman in Massachusetts talk about her experience and how she had changed this policy. It's a policy at a hospital in Boston. And she told her who the doctor was. And so Natalie followed Kara and she went and she told her why she was using the cannabis products under medical supervision. She had taken herself off of the other medications because she knew those were bad for the fetus. The doctor agreed to work with her. No one did a tox screen. Her daughter is 2 and perfect. And she was not sick and she didn't have to take the pharmaceuticals that were required of her otherwise. What she had been taking, she said, since she was a child. Because that was the only relief. And the only reason she was so desperate and was able to find relief was because her own mother was like a hippie, you know, and had trying to get this girl to smoke pot her whole life. And she wouldn't do it until she was so sick, she was desperate, and her own mother got her the medication that helped her carry the pregnancy through.
Hmm. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. I mean, that's definitely so it breaks down so many taboo things of kind of what we've also learned and we've been exposed to. But then my next natural last question for you, Joyce, as we wrap up is, so then what are the best uses of cannabis for healing?
You know, start small, like, and I say it's a hard story. Like, if you really believe that it's dangerous, you know, it's hard to get anyone invested in it. But what I usually start with are CBD products. For like, my mother was in a nursing home. She was in an assisted living. And I have this really good product out here. It's called the Healing Rose. It's a CBD product, a non-THC product. And I use it for everything on my hands. So I used to carry, I still carry around little samples of it. And I would hand it out to people and they would put it on their hands. And that pain they had was, you know, gone. And they'd be like, well, what else do you have? You know, I don't know what people have, all sorts of issues. Most of my friends have sleep issues. That's a huge one. Anxiety issues. There's so many products out there now. You know, you can smoke it the way we all thought of it as a, you know, a joint. They're now in edibles. There's in gummies. You can drink it. You can put it in a tincture. You can bake with it. You know, there's many other ways to consume it or get into your body that, you know, might work for you. You have to sort of experiment. And I always, you know, obviously you have to start low and slow. So when you go into these dispensaries, if you're looking for a product, there's some really amazing things out there. Your bud tender, the people who are working with the store, if they're a good store, and I know New York's got a lot of issues. If you go to a real store, a real dispensary, the travel agency in Manhattan, I just talked to them a couple of weeks ago. There's a legit one right in the middle of New York City that you can go to. So there are dispensaries out there where they have products that are tested. You know what's in them. You know what the dosage is, and they know what the effects are supposed to be, and they can help you figure it out. And there should be something out there to help you for sleep specifically. I know everyone's got issues with the sleep, or, you know, just basic life anxiety. Like, I always talk about this. When my kids were little, I did not consume cannabis, and I should have. I would have liked them better. I would have been more relaxed. I just, It was hard. And I drank. And I don't think drinking is that great. And I actually have stopped drinking. So I think that the idea that I could be a wine mother, be proud of it, was sort of backwards. And that I should have been able to consume a little cannabis back in the day without feeling shame and guilt, which is really what we talk about on the podcast all the time. You know, there shouldn't be any shame or guilt in this, because it's a, do you feel shameful about taking your aspirin? I don't know. It's like, it's a way to rebalance your life. I think that's really what I'm talking about when I talk about health and wellness. Everyone talks about getting high. I talk about getting rid of that anxiety feeling that you carry around with you all the time. I talk about making you allowed to sleep all the way through the night. I talk about getting rid of the pain in your hand that you just think you have to live with for the rest of your life. Like, I just assumed you had to feel shitty. Like, pharmaceuticals, alcohol is shitty. Those are your options.
I cannot ask you that because it's on my mind.
Yeah.
And is this a temporary solution to these things? Because I mean, we all know that maybe there could be deeper causes of why we're feeling anxiety or we can't sleep. Is this, what are your thoughts on, like, is this like a band-aid solution?
I think it's a reset of your mind. I think all of life, I mean, I can go deeper into this. I'm actually, you know, I'm a practicing Jewish person, so I believe in faith. Like, you know, I think about this on a higher level. But I think a lot of this is that we live in a very unknowable world, and basically all we can control is ourselves. And if we can just feel calm and good inside, like, I talk about this a lot as a parent. Again, when my kids were little, I was a divorce attorney. I had a dog, a couple of kids, you know, a couple of cats. I was like a crazy busy person, and I never really slowed down to enjoy them. I mean, I really feel bad about that. And I know now, I could have walked in the door in my state of chaos, taken 2 minutes, literally had a hit of pot, or gone to the bathroom, taken an edible, or just something to just like recenter myself. That's how I describe it. Like, just like kind of like come, my, you know, calm back down, and then pay attention to my kids, because that's really all they wanted, was me to pay attention to them. But your mind is going in 1,000,000,000 different ways. And, you know, this would have helped me. I'm going to be a great grandma, kind of focus in on them and be like, you are fascinating and amazing. I just want to pay attention to you.
It sounds like it, right? I mean, it helps you stay more present, right? Stay more present in the everyday stuff, which is, you know, what we, most of us want anyway, and what our kids want from us as parents also. Thank you, Joyce, for everything you shared. I mean, I learned a lot.
And thank that was you for having me.
of this amazing conversation as well. Again, everybody, you know, do your homework, make your choices consciously, do all of that. The purpose of this was, of course, to be able to have you share your story from your heart and what you've learned, and then, you know, the education piece, which is an important value to me. So I appreciate
you. Can I do a little plug?
Absolutely.
All right. So the Canon Mom Show, we are now finishing up our fifth season, and each year we do some sort of giveaway, something cool, something fun. This year, we have a guitar. It's actually made out of hemp wood. You can play it. You can smoke it. It was built by Lampkin Guitars in Nashville, Tennessee, and is on display in Somerville, Massachusetts. You can see it. It's going to be there through the month of April. And if you go onto my website, you can see some videos of it, and you can be yours. If you want to go on the website, check it out. A little support for the mom, the Canon Mom Show, you know, keep us going, and you'll be entered to the raffle to get it. We're doing it on 420 at the Goods Dispensary, and Josh Lampkin, who built the guitar, will actually be there playing it. So there you go.
Beautiful. Well, thanks so much for sharing. And we also shared the name of the show on the bottom and the website. Okay. So you can go check it out. And Lois is also going to be inside our Life School community, so you're able to further connect with her and, you know, explore what other opportunities that could be for alignment, as I always say. Joyce, thank you so much for what you shared. And I want to thank you for always watching and sharing the show and subscribing so that you don't miss an episode. So we can bring more education, we can bring more inspiration, and also amazing people that are sharing their life experiences, whether they're personal or professional. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'll see you next time in another show and conversation. Bye, everybody.